Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, I mean, I think right now it's more likely that Justin Fields is their starting quarterback next year, but that's not even an alternative that I can get excited about because I have no faith or trust in them to build an offense around that guy's skill set. We know what he's good at. We know what he's bad at. And I just, basically, the Steelers becoming a team that adopts like a college offense where it's an RPO game like they do in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see them being successful that way when I don't trust the play caller, but I also don't expect them to build an offensive line like they have in Philly.
No, they don't have
one. Or have a running back like they have in Philly. Or great weapons in the passing game like they have in Philly.
What's the biggest reason for hope on the roster next year? That Fautanu is healthy and is actually as good as you would hope he would be as a
first-rounder? Jones at left tackle is an upgrade.
And that Jones finally like finds himself. You know what's funny? You say build an offense around Fields. Do you know who the actual guy is that they would need to go out and try to like pry from his team? And by pry, I mean maybe just be allowed to have the guy come here. Greg Roman. He's the one dude who's actually built that like run first quarterback centric offense pretty well. He did it with Kaepernick. He did it with Jackson early on. But even we know there's a shelf life with him. We do.
And they didn't have playoff success with Lamar Jackson playing that way.
But like, yeah, Justin Fields, I think, is always going to have certain limitations as a passer that you're never going to be able to just like change about him. He is who he is to a degree already. He's how many starts into his career? He's like 45 starts in. He's just going to be who he is. And so if you're going to build an offense around him, that has to be like a radical shift. What about the Steelers strikes you as radical or willing to be radical in any way? Seriously. I mean, firing Matt Canada looked like something that they had to do under great duress and after they had like multiple meetings to probably decide whether it was the right move.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a come to Jesus moment with Mike Tomlin or Arthur Smith because I don't think the man who is ultimately calling the shots possesses either the acumen or the audacity to go do something like that.
It would require very hard conversations that the owner, I don't think, has any willingness to have.
Donnie, your take on this quarterback dilemma.
I'm actually on the side of what our little pal Austin Bechtold put out there yesterday. I was already leaning that way.
Well, Drew Aller's going back to Penn State, so he's got to recalibrate what he was putting out there.
Well, no, he said that just run it back with Fields. If he struggles like some people think he will, then maybe you are finally bad enough to get your high draft pick. Now, there is the worry by hook or by crook, they'll still be in the same spot.
Yeah, I think that kind of defeats that argument. I've seen them be 500 with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges.
Like that, but that's really the entire issue. It's like they are so unwilling to just be bad once. Like they have a complete unwillingness to.
I think that's the owner and the head coach both
gut the body of their team, have a bad season, and go from there.
Well, this would be a bad year for the record to try to do that because I think this is a pretty weak class.
But can I just say, though, like, I hear that.
Well, next year, I should say.
I hear that, but they've also been in positions where they would not have needed to sink to the bottom to get a quarterback. And they've also shown that they'll throw draft capital at moving up to get a player. It just so happened that it was for an inside linebacker who sucked when they went all the way up to 10. They drafted Kenny in the first round. Kenny wasn't good enough, but they also put him in a ridiculously bad situation with the offensive coordinator and the offensive philosophy they had here.
I think that's going to scar them, though. I don't think Mike wants to go with a rookie again.
They picked Chase Claypool over Jalen Hurts.
Would Jalen Hurts be Jalen Hurts here, though?
No, probably not, but I think better than what they have. I mean, I agree with the notion that Lamar Jackson would not be a two-time MVP if he were the Steelers quarterback. But it's more about the evaluation of players. They needed a quarterback in that draft. They looked at Terrell Edmonds and they looked at Lamar Jackson and said, for the betterment of this franchise, drafting this safety as a third round grade is better for us.
Can't we also kind of put that on Ben?
Well, yeah, yes, you should. Because
why, though? They drafted a quarterback in that draft who pissed him off.
Yeah, well, how do you think it would have gone if they drafted one in the first round
thank
instead
you.
Of the third
exactly.
or fourth?
Exactly. Well, he treated Mason Rudolph a redheaded stepchild.
No doubt, but I think that I think Kevin Colbert liked Mason Rudolph better than Lamar Jackson.
Because he saw Mason Rudolph light up Pitt.
And they still, I think, even though Mike turned into this guy that was obsessed with quarterback mobility, I think Kevin was still, you got to win from the pocket, and I think this guy can do that.
The one thing about Ben is they never had the guts as an organization to, like, tell
him. Put him in his place?
Yeah, to tell him, like, no, you've been here a long time. That's nice that you're going to be prickly if we bring in a new quarterback. We're doing it anyway. The Minka trade that ends up turning that team. I know Justin Herbert, not exactly a guy you want in the playoffs right now. He was wretched on Saturday. Pathetic, actually. But they still had access to that player who I think most people feel like is eventually going to figure it out. Steelers starting quarterback odds week one, 2025. We get these emails all the time. Would you like to guess the five best odds to be their starting quarterback? Who the five players are?
I think you already told me, so I don't
I'm going to
give it away.
Try to give me the other couple.
So I think you said Darnold has the best odds, right?
3-1.
And then I think you said Aaron Rodgers is second.
4-1.
Justin Fields is
5-1.
Third.
5-1.
Russell Wilson's 4th.
6-1. Now, who's at 7-1?
Daniel Jones.
Jalen Milroe and Quinn Ewers. And then Kirk Cousins, 9-1. And they got J.J. McCarthy at 16-1. They have Tanner McKee at 50-1, which I find very funny for some reason.
Here's Mark in Brentwood. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, man.
So we have become the absolute quintessential definition of Albert Einstein's insanity as we do the same thing over and over, year in, year out, expecting a different result, but we get the same. And I'm a Tomlin man. Great leader. I've met the guy. Tremendous man. But 18 years, same result. It's, what are we doing, guys?
You're allowed to say, like, as somebody who's supported the guy, Mark, and it sounds like you're in this direction, there's nothing, like, shameful about saying, I thought the guy was a great coach for a long time, but it's just not working anymore.
And Jimmy Johnson, I think, while trying to speak Mike Tomlin for Mike McCarthy trade into being on the game yesterday, was right about the message getting stale. It's just, for as much as Hard Knocks wanted to talk us into the fact that Tomlin was this unbelievable leader of men who would have his team willing to lay down on the train tracks in front of an oncoming locomotive to win a game for them, their actions Saturday night speak much differently.
Didn't at least one former Steeler, I don't know who it was now, and I'm trying to look back through and see, said the message sometimes gets stale. I forget who it was. It was somebody who, like...
Boog said that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Booger
it wasn't
McFarland.
A former Steeler. I don't know why I thought Trey Essex said it. He didn't. Yeah, Booger McFarland, a staunch defender of the guy, usually just said sometimes you can start to tune a guy out.
Here is Alex down in Florida. Hello, Alex.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey.
Tomlin is a tape cassette living in an iPad world. That's just the bottom line. And the way you get Tomlin fired, just empty seats will always get coaches fired. Empty seats will always get coaches fired.
You don't think that the
fired.
Rules are a little different for the Steelers? They don't pay coaches to not coach. He's got a ton of money owed to him. Like, I just think they're different like that.
Owners see nobody sitting in those stands. It'll be a different story, but
well, it actually would, by the way, it wouldn't make sense to fire him, because if he's as coveted and as in demand as the national media makes him out to be, to the point where Schefter said somebody looked into trading for him a few days ago and discovered a no trade clause, then you would deal him, is what you would do.
I'll tell you one guy I would like, and I don't want offensive coordinators, Ben Johnson. I would take a shot with Marcus Freeman.
I agree with that.
I think Freeman has the makings of a terrific coach, but I don't think Marcus Freeman wants to leave Notre Dame from all accounts here.
Dangle the Steelers job in front of him, he might feel differently. I mean, I don't understand, though, why you would be so apprehensive about coordinators. Their last three coaches, and it pains me to say this about Tomlin, but their last three coaches are going to end up, two of them are already in the Hall of Fame, and Mike will probably be there one day, and they were all first-time head coaches and former coordinators. So I don't get why you would say you don't trust someone with no coaching experience. I want young. I want guys who come in their 30s. With a whole new perspective on things, not retreads and same old, same old.
If the Steelers were ever to part ways with Mike Tomlin, there'd be 25 teams lining up to hire him, and I agree. I also think there's 25 teams in the league that would be thrilled to make the playoffs every year. It's great. We get to the playoffs. It's awesome. We can do business. We're done. But I think there is a very exclusive fraternity of teams in the league that would hate just making the playoffs every year because they stand for something different. The Steelers are not only in that fraternity, they're the president of it. 8 straight years, it's not working, it's getting worse, it was undignified last night, and whether it's talking about a trade or saying it's not working anymore and let's make a move, I do think it's time to consider a divorce. And I know that's very heavy, and we celebrate Tomlin. I have to serve the fans, and I think it's what the fans are saying.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Kyle Brandt, time to consider a divorce with Mike Tomlin. That was on NFL Network's pregame show. He was probably 15 feet away from Rich Eisen when he said it, and I'm shocked Eisen didn't get up and slap him in the face for it.
I feel like that wouldn't go well for Eisen in the end if it actually happened. Didn't Brandt play like fullback at Princeton?
He did. Because I think that they would fire Brandt in that case and say, how dare you provoke
what do you think Rich's
star, Rich Eisen, with such incendiary Mike
Tomlin
criticism.
What's Rich's explanation going to be this time? What's going to be the excuse here? Seriously, I'm asking that not to like troll, but what is it going to be?
The Rich Eisens and Mike Greenbergs who took victory laps at 10-3 and said, see all you Tomlin haters out there? Look at the magical work he's doing with this team.
Why does Rich Eisen or Mike Greenberg sound like JerMichael Finley?
I don't know. It's just
what the frick are you guys talking about?
Just, you know, talking down to us and wagging their finger at us like, you guys are so wrong on this and you don't know what you're talking about and how dare you ever question this coach.
I'm just wondering what it'll be. Is it going to be the roster's not good enough? Oh, yeah, okay, Mike has no say in that. Yeah,
probably.
Is it going to be his team just let him down? Well, it'll I thought he was the master motivator.
They were supposed to win 7.5 games this year and finish in last place, and they won 10.
And
that's
a
good season.
You know what I would always say back to that is, then who is the whole only supposed to win 7.5 games a reflection on, if not the head coach?
412-928-9370. Daryl in Houston had this game pegged perfectly. He called in on Friday.
Closest
and said,
score prediction.
Ravens 27, Steelers 13. And he's back with us. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Good show. Hey, Pony, I'm going to give you a shout-out on the sports call last night. You didn't let Cabali get away. You got him, and you stopped that nonsense in his tracks. And I hollered out, get him, Pony. And my wife looks at me and says, who's Pony? I said, don't worry about it, baby. This is sports talk. But nonetheless.
Because Mark sounded like he was on the Steelers payroll, or, you know, Russell Wilson was paying him under the table to do damage control for him.
And you were smacking him on the constant. I was like, smack him again, Tony.
Yeah, Mark's Mr. Unlimited Excuses.
Oh, man. And I was like, good for you, Andrew. Smack him around a little
bit. Thank you,
Daryl. Nobody's trying to hear that no more. I mean, nobody's trying to hear that. It's over. The noise needs to stop. The nice, you know, orator and all of that needs to stop. It stopped Saturday night. And it was finite. It was in. They put the smackdown on the Steelers like they never been smacked in a long, long time. And if anyone watching that game says anything with regards to, hey, Mike Tomlin, is this Mike Tomlin, is that, other than saying Mike Tomlin has outlived his expiration date, then they're not being true to themselves. It was right on display. 300 yards rushing. I mean, 300 yards, you gave up three beans. Three beans. Who does that?
I just don't, Daryl, you kind of drove it home because you're always like a sober voice of kind of just getting right to the point. Like, I don't know if I've said this enough, or even if national like pundits have said it enough. When a team usually looks like that uninterested, especially on defense, in doing the basic job of a defense to tackle people and hit and play physical, the coach usually absorbs just a ton of crap for it, especially if the coach is a defensive coach. I almost feel like Mike is not getting nearly slagged enough for specifically how uninterested they looked on that side of the ball.
And it's not like in that specific matchup, Mike has some kind of built-in defense of they were undermanned.
No.
They didn't have this guy.
The other team was more undermanned, technically. They had their best receiver out.
Yep.
They got Tylan Wallace making plays.
Anthony Miller was making catches. They gave up 299 yards. The only reason why it wasn't 300 was because there was a kneel down at the end of the game. Jeff in South Park saw this game going much closer. He had Ravens 20, Steelers 16. He thought it would come down to the end. And he thought his special Rocky Blyer jersey was going to bring him good luck. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well.
You could have maybe put actual Rocky Blyer in there, and he might have run for more yards.
He would have played with more heart, I can promise you that. I heard Rocky's still working out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And he was drafted in what, like 1967, and then drafted into Vietnam in 68? And he's still working out.
I think yesterday, I think two nights ago might have been Rocky's other famous quote with us. It might have been a straight booze
straight
night.
Booze.
Yep, might have been straight booze for Rock.
And the guy used to squat like 600 pounds. So he probably could hold up better in a game like this than some of the Steelers we saw out there.
I wanted that jersey because I think if I had been alive, well, not I think. I know if I'd been alive during that run in the 70s, he would have been hands down my favorite player. That's why I wanted
and
that
don't
jersey.
You miss the good old days like our caller did of guys like Ernie Holmes shooting at people? But don't you yearn for that?
Well, wasn't it a police helicopter?
It was a police helicopter, yeah. Jeff, there are people on Twitter who think that we tweeted that quote out and didn't know that it was a real story. The only thing factually incorrect was Ohio Turnpike and a police helicopter.
But he was on a Blutarski, Germans bomb Pearl Harbor-esque rant,
oh, yeah,
so I let it go.
He was in good shape with that one.
Yeah, he really was.
Jeff, what do they do, though? Jeff, what do they do, Jeff? Come on.
Well, so, you know, I did call the game being closer. I'm glad you brought that up. That was my score prediction. Good for Pony for writing all this stuff down. I think the fact that I kind of knew the offense was going to be ass. I really did. They just had no momentum whatsoever. I thought the defense would show up, and the fact that they didn't in spectacular fashion is extremely concerning. It's extremely concerning, and that's why, you know, like everybody has to. I don't know how this started, honestly. Like, we're talking about how we're the franchise that doesn't fire coaches, and that's what we're known for. I was trying to think of when this actually started. I mean, you could argue it was with Knoll because he was here for 23 seasons. But the thing is, like, the years after they stopped winning Super Bowls, if you really look at them, it didn't get really bad until 86. 86 is when it really started to go downhill. And, like, that was already six seasons removed from his last Super Bowl win.
But how do you get rid of the guy who won four Super Bowls and launched, like,
exactly,
the great dynasty? Like, that's a different conversation than what we
exactly
have here.
Exactly, and that's why I'm wondering if it actually started with Cowher. Like, I mean, yes, Knoll was here 23 seasons, but I'm wondering if my guy who I rooted for more than any player when I was a kid, Bill Cowher, I'm wondering if it started with him. And the reason why people should lose patience with Tomlin, like, I started losing patience with him in about 16 or 17 because I felt like he was pissing away the end of Ben's career. And I guess they both had a hand in that, but he technically did. Bill Cowher, if you go back to that and my whole argument that this whole we don't fire coaches started with him, like if you go back to that, he was able to come out the other side of a rebuild. He was successful right out of the gate, just like Tomlin was. But then he had some down years. And then he oversaw the entire overhaul of the roster.
He also did a great job of surrounding himself with great coaching minds. His defensive coordinator is on a short list of the best of all time in LeBeau. And Bruce Arians won a Super Bowl and was two-time coach of the year as a head coach.
He had Marvin Lewis on his staff.
He had Dom Capers when he started.
Who basically invented defense.
Invented the zone blitz, and then LeBeau perfected it.
What does Mike Tomlin have?
Daly.
Mike Tomlin,
the
one win he has as a coach is that he brought Mike Munchak here.
To Cowher's credit, he hired Chan Gailey when they were like known as the ultimate meat and potatoes team, and then they started doing five wide sets.
Yep.
The Mike coaching staff stuff might actually be the biggest indictment right now.
But the most dispiriting thing is so somehow Mike is allowed to, by the owner and by the front office, to construct a team in his likeness that is all about defense.
Mm-hmm.
How then, when you do that, do you accept the results of these playoff games where, hey, congratulations on all your success. Saturday was the first time you held the team under 30 points. They became the first team in NFL playoff history to give up 30 or more points in five straight playoff games.
How many could the Ravens have scored if they were motivated to? 45? 50,
I mean,
close to 50?
Like, if I kept going to my owner or my GM and saying, I need more on defense, I need more on defense.
You already have the
Patrick
most of
Queen,
any team in the league.
Give me Joey Porter Jr. More. And the results didn't get any better. I don't understand. I can't comprehend how they went along with that. Okay, at some point, to Jeff's, the crux of his argument, when you had great offensive players and a defensive coach, he should have taken the average players he had on defense, made them better, paired it with that great offense, and that's when they should have won, Chris. And he couldn't do that.
And their defense let him down. What was it? Counting the first-round pick used to trade for Minka, starting with the Cam Hayward draft, they, I think, used a defensive pick or a first-round pick on a defensive player 9 out of 10 years, if you count the Minka pick. The only non-DeCastro is DeCastro in 12. Jarvis Jones, Shazier, Dupree, Artie Burns,
ugh,
Watt, Edmonds, Devin Bush.
Ugh.
God, is that a... And that is on Colbert to a degree. You're the one ultimately like making the pick, but this is as a collective. These are the dudes you decided to pick?
4:30 means it's time for a Donnie football debrief. Donnie's biggest football take, biggest football story, biggest football question that he has out there. And it starts now.
The debrief, January 13, 2025.
A day that will live in infamy.
I actually wanted to shift to the college ranks because I'll have plenty of time later to talk about what happened on Saturday night. One of the big, notable local teams, they're bringing the band back for 2025. Both Penn State running backs announcing today they will return. Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton. Drew Aller said he will return as well. So where do you put Penn State, a team that was on the doorstep of a national title appearance? Where do you put them now entering 2025?
In the same exact place.
Yeah, still behind Ohio State.
Because much like Mike Tomlin in the playoffs, I don't trust Penn State to be a real team.
Are they going to get any
playoffs?
Actual wide receivers coming through? Also, no Tyler Warren, so that's going to make them worse.
No Abdul Carter, who might be the number one pick in the NFL draft.
Their offense, it's nice for their offense, but are they going to find a single wide receiver? One of the just the insane stat that Drew Aller threw more passes to Notre Dame defenders, completed more than to his own wide receivers in that game.
Warren had more than double the receptions of their the guy that had the second most, Harrison Wallace.
Is it a real
46? Warren had 104.
Is it a real thing or is it a manufactured thing that apparently there was a contingent of Steelers fans who actually wanted Drew Aller to be the Steelers' next quarterback? Is this some kind of like Penn State / Steelers fan revenge for the Kenny Pickett pick, where they want the guy now from the other football school that we care about here to grab the baton and be the next quarterback? Or was this a made-up thing? Like, did you see this? Like, fans saying before the guy pooed himself in the college football playoff,
I saw some
that
people
Aller
pointing,
would
yeah.
be a great
I mean, I saw people pointing
Steelers
to it because it's just the logical, like, he's playing for a local team. I mean, the one thing Drew Aller absolutely does have is a huge arm to play in the end. Like, he makes all the NFL
cool
throws.
But so
he also doesn't know where the ball's going half the time and
so
does
not Joe
possess
Milton. Let's
many
trade
of the
for
other
him.
Things. Well, that would be an interesting move. Can't he throw the ball, like, 90 yards, Joe Milton?
Archimedes Canonero can throw the ball pretty hard. Let's bring him in to be the next Steelers quarterback.
Man, remember he had a brief hell of a run there where he was just touching triple digits with no idea where it
was
going.
Has John Holtzcomb considered a career change?
I knew you were going Holtzcomb next. I knew that was coming up.
Who cares if the guy's got a
No, I don't
howitzer.
Know. He's Aller does nothing for me as an NFL prospect, even knowing he's got the big arm, because I have just not seen like any real proof of concept.
Where's the kid who listens to our show from Bell Vernon now going to go? If both of these running backs are back.
Quentin Martin.
He's just going to sit there and collect dust?
I almost said
Quentin Johnston, a guy from the Chargers who can't catch. But again, my thought on Martin was, my understanding was like Pitt had like no interest.
I've heard that too.
And which is insane.
Because he was the best player in the area.
He was like the only bona fide, I think like a legit five-star. He was an actual five-star player, and Pitt had no interest?
Is Taki Hayes going to play running back?
Taki Hayes.
So he's going to sit behind these guys too then, huh?
I mean, he'll at least be a freshman, and these guys
are
presumably
on their final season. If you were Hayes, would you have gone to Stanford or Penn State? Stanford, obviously not the program Penn State is, but I feel like that's one where I would have been like, man, chance to go to Stanford? That sounds kind of like nice. Nice part of the country. Valuable Stanford education. You could just get in with one of those tech venture capitalist
types. Palo Alto. Yeah.
I think I would have done the Stanford route.
Donnie, what do you think is going to be your first like big Steelers take on your show at 6 tonight?
It all starts at the top. It trickles down all the way to the bottom.
Is the top the head coach or is the top the owner
that
you've crushed?
The top is the guy that owns the team.
Yeah.
Who deserves to be crushed. Just as much.
All right, I'm sorry, I have to hijack the rest of the debrief here.
Go ahead.
Can you guys both quickly go to Orlovsky's Twitter feed? It's his most recent tweet. I just want you to be able to see it so you're not having to react to my descriptions of it, okay? It's one of those you're on a 15-hour flight, pick your seat bits. Can we please review this so we don't give away any of Donnie's big takes coming up? Seat number one, you are on the window with Herbstreit in the middle and Saban on the aisle. Seat number two, you are in between Ryan Day and Lou Holtz.
Yep.
Well, Lou Holtz would spit all over you if he started talking.
Seat three.
Those are the St. Brown brothers.
Yeah, I knew Amon Ra. I thought it had to be.
Four is Orlovsky and Mina Kimes.
You're on the aisle with the St. Brown brothers. You're on the window with Orlovsky and Kimes on the aisle. Five, you're in the middle of Deion and Shedeur Sanders.
See, I'm sitting in six.
Six, you are with Dan Campbell. Is that Ben Johnson?
Yep. You got an aisle seat with Ben Johnson.
I think that's probably the
one right there.
Seven, in the middle of the Harbaugh brothers, which is hell on earth. And eight, you are riding window next to Kelsey with Taylor Swift on the aisle.
I think my second choice would be one. Herbstreit is the man of the hour based on what he said about the Steelers.
Do you believe Saban's a lot more fun off like camera?
I think Saban's been fun on camera.
Yeah.
He's cursing, he's trying to fight Shane Gillis. I mean, I'm a fan
now, both of these guys. Instead of picking the one that we all like the most, I wouldn't mind talking to Orlovsky, but he says he's terrible on flights. Orlovsky and Kimes, so forget about that one.
The Harbaughs are the worst. And then
Is that really worse than Ryan Day and Lou Holtz?
Yeah, that's the next one for me.
I don't know. I think I could actually,
I feel like I would put number two last.
Deion and Shedeur would be pretty annoying.
I agree. You just hear about how great they are for 15 hours.
Like any flight, the three middle seats are easily the three worst on here, man.
I think the Harbaughs would at least have some good dad jokes in them, especially Jim.
What's the likelihood you'd get the Harbaughs so pissed off at one another that they'd be reaching across you to like punch each other like you're in the back seat of the car?
That was the Donnie Football Debrief.
Man, Ben Johnson kind of looks like the guy from Silence of the Lambs or something.
Tune in at 6 when Donnie goes after Art Rooney. I know I will be there for that. Here is Joe on the fan. Hello, Joe.
Hey,
Joe.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you guys? Good afternoon.
We're good.
Good. Listen, I got a question for you guys in studio. I'm listening from Boston, and don't get me wrong, even though I'm a Patriot, but I've always been a Steeler when I used to watch you guys back in the day when you played the 49ers and the Cowboys, so I did root for you. But I got two things
for you,
right?
You're a Patriot fan calling in to comment on the Steelers?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a Steeler, too. I like the Steelers.
No.
But who's your main team right now? When the Patriots
would play the Steelers in the playoffs, who would you root for?
Right now, I would go for the Steelers.
No, I'm saying when Brady's Patriots played the Steelers, who were you rooting for in those games?
Like in the 2016 AFC title game.
Oh, no. I mean, come on. I mean, that's a no-brainer there. I mean,
who did you root for, Joe? Can you answer the question, please?
I went for the Patriots.
Goodbye.
I knew that was coming. I knew poor Joe was heading down a bad path there.
Here's Eric next. Hello, Eric.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, just like every other Pittsburgher, I've been sitting at my desk, you know, Monday morning doing a post-mortem on this whole season. And I think part of this blame for our collapse has to go to Permane Brothers.
They got ahead of themselves with the sandwich with Russ.
Yeah, they gave it to him after one win. I mean, this is the city of champions here, guys. Like, can't be giving out sandwiches after a regular season win.
I agree with that. Sandwiches should, I think, bare minimum, you got to win a playoff game before you get a sandwich named after you.
And you know what? Hey, Eric, we used to be a town that stood for something. We used to be a town where you really had to get a Super Bowl to get a Roethlisberger. Didn't that come out after the Super Bowl win?
I don't know.
Or you have to set a rookie wins record at least.
Like right now, my Russ Wilson sandwich is just a plate of coleslaw and fries. That's it. There's no meat, no substance, no bread to build off of. It's just coleslaw and fries. That's it.
Thank you, Eric.
You're just throwing a go ball, hoping that coleslaw can fill you up to your next meal.
Here is Trio on the Fan. Hello, Trio.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How
hey,
you
man.
Feeling?
We're good. Actually, no, we're not.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, but wait right a minute. Hold you. On. You broke the New Year rule. It's January 13th, and we think that usually it's around January 7th where you got to stop the Happy
New
Year.
I'll let it go today.
What do you got for
Please
us?
Please don't hang up on me.
No,
I
what do you got?
I'm going to tackle two things really quickly.
Go ahead.
One, I want to ask you guys a question. I want you to ponder it before you answer.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to ask that first.
Go ahead.
2017 draft class.
Yep.
First round pick, T.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
Second round pick, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Mm-hmm.
That was the 62nd pick.
Yep.
The 63rd, 67th, and 69th pick consecutively were offensive guard Deion Dawkins, running back Alvin Kamara, wide receiver Cooper Kupp. Would you have taken any of those guys over Juju?
Of course.
What we got from them.
Definitely.
Going forward.
Yes, of course.
That was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I'll take that. And next, I want to tackle, how do you feel about giving Justin Fields a two-year deal? Tomlin's locked in till 27. Giving him a two-year deal, everybody and who knows their mother was sitting there saying Lamar Jackson up until about last season was the best running back in the league. The skill set are not too far off between Lamar and Justin.
I disagree with that
right
now. I disagree with that. I think Lamar sees the field a lot better as a quarterback. I didn't want to believe that. I wanted to be a hater. The dude's second year in the NFL, he led the NFL in passing touchdowns.
Trio.
I can't. There are some similarities as far as like their abilities as a runner.
I don't even agree with that. And I was way more complimentary of Jackson a long time ago as a passer, and now he's starting to really validate that. Fields wants to run you over or run away from you. He kind of runs like quarterback Derrick Henry, which is nice.
Tomlin even said that about him. He said in the open field, Justin Fields turned into Derrick Henry, and then he played him for two plays
Pony,
on Saturday.
Like, the reason Jackson's so good is he can do stuff like what he did to Minkah Fitzpatrick, just make people miss, and then he... Donnie, would you agree with this too? Jackson is unbelievable at never taking huge hits when he's running the ball. He gets down at the exact right time almost every single time.
That is something I thought early in his career. Like, okay, well he'll take so many big hits. He's
right,
he's
going
to
have
it
a
did
very
happen. He missed two. He missed the ends of two seasons with
but
hits.
But now
though.
he's healthy, and I think he figured out like when to get down. It helps having Derrick Henry there to just be the guy you can hand the ball to 25 times if you need it, and he's just going to steamroll a team like the Steelers. But
the Steelers drafted Najee Harris to be that guy. It's hilarious. It really is when you think about it.
Can you explain to me what the first part of that call, by the way, was? Why it was just like an anti-Juju call?
They wasted a draft in 2019 to just placate Ben.
You're on the wrong. You're talking about
the 2021 Devin Bush draft.
2021.
Excuse me, I got my odd numbers.
Harris,
thank you.
Freiermuth, a guard that they tried to play at center. Dan Moore, who just don't even get me started.
It's the top two picks there.
I know.
In 2021, you drafted a running back in the first round, and you drafted a tight end in the second round.